the church there in the middle of Gray. Years and years. Can you say that? Years and years. You can blink your eyes and it'll be years and years. But anyway, Jack, and then Brother Harry, and now I'm privileged to be able to do this. And here we are. I think today is I'm going to try. I don't think I can get this done today. I've been trying to wrap this up. Before we get into the great details of the Great Tribulation period, it's going to take me a while to get that filtered down into something that I can do in a reasonable amount of time. So we've been kind of hitting high spots. We're going to finish up the Seven Seals Try-To today, and then I'll do a summary, and I may not get to that till next week. But it's a lot to take in and a lot to understand. And one of the things that I really pray that you do is get a grip on enough to know, and I think most of you do anyway, and be able to give a reason why you believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. Now, there is, if you look, you got to be careful on the internet and on YouTube and all that stuff. There is so many opinions, and we can differ in dates and analysis of all this stuff and how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. But I believe, after being taught for 40 years in independent fundamental Baptist church, I've been a deacon, I guess, for 45, 46 years, and having some kind of understanding of this and studying it and hearing it preached and taught, and then came here in 99 and got in on Preacher Lashley's Rightly Dividing the Word a couple times before he retired, and studying Clarence Larkin's books and others. I've got all of Clarence's books. Clarence doesn't only just heavily rightly dividing the word. He's got the book of Daniel. He's got the book of Revelations. He's got books on dispensationalism. When I ordered his books, I just ordered them all. There was a whole stack of them. God had given that man a great gift of understanding how to break things down and draw those charts, and you all have seen those charts. But you've got to be careful when you start looking, because I wanted to get opinions on a couple things, and boy, there is opinions out there. You cannot take pieces of verses, and we've always been taught that. You can't take what this verse says halfway and not put it in context of where it's at in the Bible. Now, it'll make you start thinking of all those other ways people interpret the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ is really what we're looking at. We saw the first coming at the cross and the second coming after the seven-year tribulation period. Well, some people flop around with the tribulation period. Some people move the second coming of Christ and the thousand-year reign. Some people don't even think that is going to happen. They think it's already happened. I mean, you've got post and pre and mid and amillennialist and on, all these people thinking, and these are good guys. I watched a two-hour debate there one evening. Different four men. Two of them were pre, and the others were other things. And one thing they agreed on before they even started talking about is the gospel, the truth of the gospel. the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that saves us. We are saved by the blood, folks. And we can talk about these dates and all these things, and it's interesting to talk about all that. But we want to make sure that we're honed in, know for sure what salvation is faith through trusting Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. We will not differ on the gospel. There is no, between these four guys, they all agreed before they started this talk, and it got heated into the thing in an hour in it. They were heated discussions, but they'd all sit back and laugh and say, you know, this and that. And at the end of it, they all come back to Jesus Christ. He saved everybody. So, saved the world once everybody's saved. Made a way for everybody to get saved through what he did on the cross. So in all this, there is no confusion about the gospel. And confusion, we all know, is caused by the devil and misinterpretation of God's word. Again, we can't take bits and pieces of it and try to make something that we think is right. We have to look at whole prophecies, whole chapters, whole books, in some cases, to come to the truth of the mysteries that God opens up the mysteries in his book and answers those mysteries to a point. It's like trying to think about heaven and how great it is and how big it is and how wonderful it is and what God's going to do. Our minds can only go so far. And I think the same thing is true when we're talking about the book of Revelations and Daniel and Zechariah and all the other prophets. We can really get bogged down with not understanding a lot of those things in the words. There's so many words that have different meanings. So anyway, pray that God gives you knowledge enough to answer somebody. You know the gospel, and you're going to stand on God's word and believe that pre-tribulation rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ is after the tribulation period. You can stand on that alone. I believe, from what I've been taught in the last 40 years or so, what I've read, I believe that's the way it's going to be. Now, some people say, well, these guys that were discussing all this, they said, well, we'll meet in the air someday and we'll say, I told you so. But anyway, let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace and all that you did on the cross. Lord, what you did there saved mankind, stopped the sacrifices, and you were the sacrifice. You are the Lamb of God. And God, we thank you for that truth of that gospel. We thank you for that salvation that you so freely give us. We don't do anything to get it. We don't do anything to keep it. But by faith we receive you into our heart to save our ever dying souls. Lord, we thank you for that truth. Now, Lord, give us understanding again today of some of the things that are going to happen in the future. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's look at what the prophets... I'm going to back up just a little bit here and look at prophets. Let me find my glasses. When you get old, you can't see anything. Do y'all relate to that? I want to look at the prophets. That there's what we call, it can be called mountain peaks. Let's just say that this is a mountain, and let's say this is another mountain over here. And in between these two mountains, in dispensationalism, there's what we call the church age down in this valley. And the prophets that are sitting way over here, They're looking into the future. God's given them a vision of what's going on in the future. They see this mountain peak. Let's just say that this mountain peak is the birth of Christ, his life, death, burial, and resurrection, and his ascension back to heaven. Well, let's just say that over here, we see the rapture of the church, Christ coming in the air, all the saints of the past that are dead and alive in Christ will be called up in a twinkling of an eye, the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and during that time is the revelation period. And then after that's the thousand year reign, and then there's some other peaks there toward the end of the world as we know it today. So you have these prophets of old in the Old Testament seeing these things happen. The birth of Christ, the death of Christ, the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit comes down. Then we see there's a valley down underneath all those peaks that they're seeing, which is the church age that we live in today. Then we see the rapture of the church there, and then the second coming of Christ at the end, the revelation they call it, at the end of the 7-year reign. And then we see that the temple set up for the millennium, for the 1,000-year reign. And then we see that the devil is loose for a little while. And then we go forward into New Jerusalem, New Earth, and all that. So we have that from the old prophets seeing those things, God giving them a look. Well, what we've been looking at is we've been looking at these questions that was brought up on Mount of Olives to Christ, and the disciples were asking, if you remember, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the whole world? So that's what we are trying to answer here, and we're looking, and I think we kind of stopped last week at Matthew 24:15. In Matthew 24:15, and when ye therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophets, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now that, I did not understand any of that. So in reference to that, where he says he talks about Daniel, you can go to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and it's just as wordy as that is. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, in the language, we want to look at who he is, because you can go back over here in some other things talking about he could be the Holy Spirit, he could be Christ. In this case, the word means he, the Antichrist. So in Matthew, he's telling these guys what Daniel saw as the old prophet across that great span of time. God give him the ability to see what he was going to do 3.5 years into this tribulation period. And what it's talking about is talking about the temple being torn down. Now we can go back to the New Testament where they were at this time, and Christ was giving them a vision of what was going on in the world. Now you remember me talking about these time periods of things that happened. Let's say that, trying to give you some visuals here. Let's just say that is, Christ is born, died on the cross, went back to sit in heaven, and for 70 years or so, the disciples were preaching the gospel, and let's just say that's 70 AD. So we see that Christ goes back, all the disciples preaching and starting the gospel, starting all the churches, And finally, the ruling nation, Rome, is done with the nation of Israel, and they come into Jerusalem and destroy the temple at approximately 70 A.D. is where that on the timeline is. That's 70 A.D. So during that period, we see the start of the New Testament church, or the start of the church age. Now, a lot of this stuff that Christ is talking about here in Matthew chapter 24 is some of the things that are happening to the disciples, to the church, being persecuted by the Roman Empire. And at the end of that, they come in and destroy the temple. Remember me talking about that? Christ said that every stone would be overturned. And it was. And the Romans did a bunch of other things there to desecrate the thing. But that compares to another time period out here, the 7-year tribulation period. So we're seeing in Matthew 24 him talking about those things, and this is going to happen. This is what this verse is talking about. And then we have the tribulation period. The church has been raptured. The seals are being opened right on the beginning of it that we've been talking about. And then stuff starts happening after the seals, after the seventh seal is opened. God starts pouring out his wrath on the earth. And the Antichrist is getting entrenched and killing people and persecuting the Jewish nation. And then at 3.5 years into this thing, it's really going to be the Great Tribulation. We're in tribulation. So we have two things happening back here before 70 AD and up here in the Great Tribulation period. The Antichrist is getting ready to destroy the temple because the temple gets rebuilt again during that first 3.5 years. Because the Antichrist is friends and with the nation of Israel and fools them into thinking who he was, but they start waking up right before 3.5 years period is up. Now, we talked about the church age gets started at Pentecost, but we talk about the temple being torn down here in 70 AD, so you have an overlap of the church age here and all this stuff going on. So let's just pretend now that this is the church age that we're in today. Well, the church age really started back here at Pentecost. Well, what happened here at 70 AD. So during the beginning, we have an overlap. Remember, I talked about that overlap. So we see some things early in the beginning of the church age that's an overlap from the Roman Empire in the 70 AD when they destroy the temple. Now, that's where confusion comes in with some of these folks that read into some of these things. And they get confused about likes. Like, it's clearly described in some of the things that God allows to happen during that last 3.5 years, in some of the trumps that are opened, some of the vials that are poured out on the earth at that time is likened to this period of time back here. Now, I've read some things about that. It gets complicated and complex, but one of the most plain things to see about it, the devil wants to make everybody think that he is the Messiah. If you think back in the beginning, he says, I want to be this and I want to be that and I want to be like God and I'm going to be like this and I. Same things going on. The devil was around when all this happened and the church got started and he didn't like it, trying to stop it with the Roman Empire. Well, we see now we're going to be in this tribulation period. And he's going to make it look, what he's going to do to the Jewish nation, God's going to allow him to do it. He's going to back up and look at what the Roman Empire did to them and destroying the temple And 600,000 of them gotten killed in the destruction of Jerusalem that day. He's going to do that on earth during that 7-year tribulation period. So he wants to make God see that he has the power to do what he did. See, he wants to be, I want to be this. He's eat up with I. That's the devil. So there is a like there, if you want to look call it like that. It's like that, but it's going to be in that period. So that's what we get a little bit of hard to understand, because in Daniel, it says the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many of 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause sacrifices of the oblation to cease. Now that is the sacrifices in the temple during the 7-year tribulation period. The Jews have started, they've rebuilt the temple and they started doing the sacrifices again. And those sacrifices, that oblation means meat without blood. Remember, you go back in the Old Testament, it talks about how they washed the meat and they prepared the meat and then they would burn the sacrifice in the temple. And that's what that is. That's what it's talking about right there. And he will cause it to cease for the overspreading of abomination. He, the Antichrist, shall make it desolate, even unto the consumption, and that determined shall be poured upon desolation. It's hard to read, hard to understand. Basically, he's saying when he destroys the temple, stops the sacrifices, he's going to completely destroy the Jewish religion again. God's going to allow him with the trumpets and the vials that's going to be poured out, which happens after the seventh seal is opened. We'll get to that in a minute. During that time, God's going to pour all that out on earth. And it's all about the nation of Israel. Now, there will be some Gentiles there come across, those that don't accept Christ at the day of rapture, that are not saved, are going to cross into the tribulation period. So the Antichrist, the devil, is really at the 3.5-year period, is going to turn on the nation of Israel. Up until that point, they thought he was it. They thought that this guy was going to be the savior of the world. He had everybody fooled. See, he wants to be like Christ. He wants people to look at him and think that that's who he is. That's been his goal from day one in the Bible. So then things really start to get bad. Now let's go back from that incident there. Let's go back over to Matthew chapter 24 and look at verse 16. Let them which be in Jubilee flee into the mountains. Now we're back. We're back on earth. We're back at 70 AD, back during that transition period when the Roman Empire was getting ready to destroy the temple. And so Jesus is telling the disciples here, he's saying, let them which be in Jubilee flee into the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. He's telling people, get out of town. Because we know from history they killed 600,000 people that day. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. I mean, if somebody's coming after you to kill you, you need to get out of town. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Talking about ladies with children and pregnant. Can't run from this terrible thing that the Roman Empire is bringing down on them at that time. But pray ye that your fight not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be, now get this right here, great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time nor ever shall be. Christ, in knowing everything, at that moment flips into the future, talking about the great tribulation like the world has never seen. It can't be this time period, because we see that the Roman Empire in past 70 AD, there was just wars after wars, empires, Babylon of the old days. I mean, it just goes on and on. The Peloponnesian Wars and all the things just keep going on. And then you have the 400 years of silence in the Bible, then you come into the New Testament. So we see here that all of a sudden he says he sees great tribulation. And he says in verse 22, "And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved." Now, when God says no flesh saved, he says what he means. He means what he says. You can't take that back and think that he's talking about this period of time at the beginning of the church age. You've got to take that forward because of what happens when those seven seal is opened up. The Antichrist, his full intent is to wipe out the nation of Israel and anybody that wants to stand up for the word of God. Except those days be shortened. And we know how it gets shortened at the end of the 7 years, the second coming of Christ. But during that time, there's some amazing things that happen. And now we're up to the sixth seal, looking at physical changes. And immediately thereafter, the tribulation. Now it's not the great tribulation. Now we're saying after the tribulation. Now he goes back to this period of time. Now, can you imagine being a disciple sitting there trying to figure all this out and hear all this from Christ? I mean, it was hard. It's hard enough for us. It's been written down for us to give us some kind of understanding. "And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken." Now, in the present age that we are in, the church age, have we ever seen that happen? So I looked it up. What's amazing what your phone can find. On May the 19th of 1780, in the New England states and part of Canada, the sun never came out that day. Of course, George Washington wrote about it in his notes of that day, with being in the Revolutionary War thing going on. Why did God, I mean, there's all kinds of speculation. You can read, look it up. A dark day in New England. People thought it was the end of the world. Why do people think that? Because back in those days, people read their Bible and understand that they had read Revelations and understood that the sun and the moon and all that's going to happen. There's going to be physical changes in the world happen during the seven-year tribulation period. Same thing's going to happen. You see, the devil wants to copy Christ and fool people into believing that he has that kind of power. But here we see that God allowed that to happen in present day time. Basically, you can say it was in 1780, in the beginning of our great country. Of course, people, scientists, can talk all that away, and you say this and say that, but it was dark. It was so dark, they said, that the chickens stayed in the roost, that the frogs kept hollering. this daylight didn't come. But then it says, and the stars shall fire from the heaven. Well, did that ever happen? Yes, it did. In November the 12th and 13th of 1833, there was a meteor storm. And it's been said that somewhere between 50,000 and 150,000 meteors came down that night. People again thought it was the end of the world. And where we at then in the date 1833? So somebody was reading their Bible, understanding that it was a sign to end times. Again, that same thing is going to happen. The devil, God's going to bring that on and allow that to happen in the 7-year tribulation period. Except I think it'll be worse, and some of those things may hit the ground. We know today that most of them don't hit. But they think they've found a crater. Geologically, I think there's one in West Virginia, up around Beckley, south of Beckley, and it's like 15 miles wide, this crater. It's ancient. There's one in the Soviet Union that's huge. So it can happen. And it's going to happen again. And there shall appear a sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So there we see. Now let's go over to Revelations now and read that in verse 6 and 12. So I just read Matthew 29 and 30. Now let's go to Revelations 6:12. And beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars in heaven fell to earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely fruits when she is shaken of the mighty wind. And the heaven departed, and the scroll as a scroll when it is rolled together, and even the mountains and the islands were moved out of their places. So we're seeing a really physical change of things. The earth is going to be groaning during that time. Now we look at the next verse, and he goes into the example of the fig tree. And the fig tree is the nation of Israel, representatives of the nation of Israel. And Matthew 24:32, now learn the parable of the fig tree. When the branches are yet tender and putteth forth his fruit, ye know that the summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Even at the door. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about the great tribulation is at the door. He's telling these disciples on this timeline right here, at the beginning of the church age, he's telling his disciples, when you see these things. So the church age started at Pentecost. So we're in the church age, and he's saying, disciples, when you see these things in the church age, get ready. Verily I say unto you, 34, this generation shall not pass till these things be fulfilled. Now this generation was generationally talking, the church age generation, the people that are the generation that has Christ dying and saving them with his blood, this generation. Okay? This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not. That's in Matthew. We've heard that before up in Revelations. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. There's the answer. When shall these things happen? They're wanting to know. Nobody knows. When you start talking to somebody and they start trying to tell you, we've had these doomsayers. I heard about these environmentalists 15, 20 years ago started all this green agenda. Well, if it had happened like that, we'd have the ocean front here in Gray, Tennessee. People can say what they want to say, but you got to go with what the Bible says. You can't speculate. You got to take the word and do your best to interpret what the word says. And there's all kinds of help. We've got commentaries and books and studies and people discussing these things, and they still can be a controversy. But there is no controversy on the gospel. Now, if you really get confused, you can go talk to Preacher Lassley. He's sitting right back there. He may be able to answer it. I don't know whether our current pastor can answer that or not. He may be able to. I'd say he can. I've asked him some hard questions. He said, But anyway, God's good, folks, all the time. Now, let's look at what happens when the sixth seal's been opened, but there's some stuff, again, is getting ready to happen. Now, like I've told you before, let's change the mode on this. Let's say that the tribulation period is here, and let's just say that this is the church age here. Now, there could be the tribulation, the day of Christ when he returns. Let's just say it's not right here. Let's just put it right here. When Christ returns in the clouds and starts the 7-year tribulation period. Here we are in the church age, running up to this point. So we see we have an overlap here. And that's what some of the stuff that we're seeing here in Matthew, and Christ is telling them about what's happening in the world today during the church age, but then he keeps bouncing back over. Here he goes forward into the Great Tribulation, and the tribulation that we have today in our churches and the martyrs that's on the ground today in this world and all that's went on during the church age. So we don't know if this is the rapture. This is the church age. This is the end of the church age. We don't know if it's here or here or here or here. I believe it's right there. And just any day it could go right there and we could see the Christ come back. So we see an overlap here. Now, not only is there an overlap, let's say the rapture has happened. And we've been talking about Christ steps up in heaven, takes the scroll with seven seals, and starts opening them. Well, so he just opened the sixth one. Now, during the sixth and seventh seal, there's another overlap here. There's quite a few things happens that's getting the world ready to receive the great tribulation when he opens up the seventh seal. So what is he doing? He's going to see fit to the nation of Israel that some of those folks get saved. Now, we always talked about, is there salvation during the tribulation period? Well, yes, there is. And we always talk about, well, how can that happen? And who is it that gets saved? And all that kind of thing. Well, Let me look. The devil's messing with my pages here. Uh, All right, here we go. The sixth seal. Now, when this seal is opened, we've opened 1 through 5, which we've already read about that. I'm not going to read Matthew any further. I'm trying to bring this to an end, and we'll do some more detailed stuff later. The sixth seal talks about the physical changes, and we've been talking about that. Along with that physical changes, the judgment of God, of Christ, is getting ready to come down on the devil and on the nation of Israel. This is a period of time between the 6th and 7th that these physical changes happen, the darkness and all that kind of thing. And then we see that there is a sealing, and it says a sealing, which is not the sealing of the Holy Spirit. And it says in Revelation chapter 7, 1 through 8 is where we're going to take this to. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. And the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any trees. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to do hurt to the earth and the sea. So you see, the angels are posted. They're ready to start shaking this world. Okay, so then, till we have these sealed servants of our God in their foreheads. So, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed these servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were to be sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel. So there you go. There's where the 144,000 comes in that we've all heard about from time to time. So this sealing is not the sealing of the Holy Spirit. We know when the church is raptured, the Holy Spirit raptures out the dead in Christ, raptures out those of us who remain, and goes with us to heaven. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit. He can go and come and do. He's part of the Trinity. Doesn't mean he's stuck in heaven, because salvation has to do with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes down, we have nothing to do with saving people. We present the gospel and the Holy Spirit touches their heart. In the Old Testament, he would come and go and come and go with the prophets and work his miracles then. And we see in the church age, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells with the believers permanently. It is our comforter. It's a gift from God that when we get saved, during that transition period, when Christ came back and they saw him after his death and he went back to back and met with the disciples in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit came down on them and came down on them in a hard way. They went out and preached and rejoiced, and we've seen thousands of people saved in one day, speaking in different languages and able to see the power of the Holy Spirit. From that day forward, as people got saved, the Holy Spirit dwelled with our soul. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. This is not that seal. This is a seal, a mark in their forehead. It goes on to talk about it. God marks these 144,000 Jews to do what? To preach the kingdom. Christ is coming back. He seals them so the devil can't kill them. Now, of course, we know that the devil wants to seal people. There you go, another like. Well, if God can seal people, I can seal them too. I can put the number 666 in their forehead. See the likes? I mean, it just, every time God makes a move, the devil tries to outmaneuver him. It just don't happen. God's going to win at the end of the day. And I'm done. I cannot believe it's 15 till. I'll have to pick up there next week. I knew I wouldn't get through it. But I want to tell you a little bit of about what these people do and who they are. And it talks about one from every tribe of Israel. I'll give you a little bit of taste. If you want to read in Revelations there, 1 through 8, and it names the tribes. Well, there's two of the tribes that don't show up. They are substituted with two names. You want to run that rabbit. And it all falls back to the split of the kingdoms and the North Kingdom and King Jeroboam. And there's a bunch of stuff went on there. And two of the tribes, they get their name marked out of the book right here at this time. But they show back up. Anyway, it's interesting travel there. We'll talk about that next week. And I'll try to get this thing summarized somehow. And I just don't have enough time to do it. Okay, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Thank you all for listening. Lord, we thank you again for your love and your grace and your salvation and all that you do, Lord. Thank you so much for your plan of salvation. Thank you so much for your plan of end times and how the nation of Israel is going to come through this thing at the end and you're going to set up your reign for 1,000 years here on this earth, how all that falls together, Lord. It's a wonderful, wonderful understanding of it all. Lord, we thank you for the promise of heaven. We're all of us that are saved know we're going there, and we thank you for that. Such a wonderful promise of a hope of heaven being there with our loved ones and family. Lord, again, just pray for our church today. Give us a good day in church. Let someone that comes today be saved before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.